So I have called this to know our true identity in Christ. You know, and I just feel the time we're in that the enemy can zap our identity. Is that true? He can come along and rob and steal. And I'm starting off with quite a serious scripture, but it's in John chapter 2. 15:17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever and ever and ever. Our identity is not in the world. We've got to be different than what the world is. Isn't that true? But I was, because I'm actually going to speak on this, I was reading a book. I couldn't sleep. You know how you have nights where you don't sleep and you think, well, God, what are you doing here? I want to sleep. Anyway, I looked at my book, beside my books, and I thought, oh, John Bevere. And it was on intimidation, but there was a chapter that he spoke on, and it was the fear of God. And he said, it's coming, but it's not here yet. He said, if we were walking in the fear of God, oh, what was those two ladies, Sapphira and Ananias and Sapphira, and he said, what wouldn't happen on this day because the anointing is not strong enough, because the fear of God is not really in our hearts. And he talked about pastors, and I'm going, oh, here we go. And he said, do not fear man, but fear God. And he said, if people are on their phones while you're preaching, God sees it. If people are walking around and not focused on what God wants to share, the fear of God is not in them. That really spoke to me. And, you know, as pastors, we can bow down to people because you want them to like you. But sometimes we have to speak out the truth. And our identity is to have the fear of God. And I believe we're coming into it. You know, when the fear of God hit Brownsville, people were up the front on their knees, just repenting, and they were just frightened. I remember when my twin sister got saved, and I had the fear of God that she was going to heaven and I was staying behind, and I used to seek for her, and if she ever disappeared, I feared God, thinking, I'm not ready, I haven't given my life to Jesus. You know, I really had a fear. So I knew what I had to do was to give my life to Jesus. But there is a fear that's coming where, you know, we're going to give back all those books. I open up books and I'm going, oh my goodness, I haven't given this one back. You want to put things right. I had one of Irma May's, didn't I? And I said to Stephen, I've had this book for a long time. I'm so sorry. And she's in glory. So I immediately gave it back to Stephen. But what I'm saying is, this is where we've got to have short accounts and have the fear of God. Hallelujah. You know, and we've got to know that Jesus is the center of our lives. As I was preparing this last night, I just waited on God and I said, Lord, is there anything in me that needs to go? I've been searching my heart like I've never done before, because I want to be closer to him and I want to be right before him. You know, I had a bit of a tiff with Clive and I just didn't want to talk to him. And he comes in the morning with a cup of coffee. I'm not talking to you. It's very hard for me not to talk for a long time. So he just laughs, and I had to get over it. But isn't it in times like that, you seek the Lord and say, who's wrong here? Who has to give in? Who relates? You know, when you do the non-talking, that's manipulating. That's controlling. I was controlling him by quietness. He didn't notice at first, and that annoyed me. So I had to make it more obvious. You know, you walk more quickly. And you walk and you put something down on the bench. Boom. Still didn't work. I'm off to bed. No, 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 it's love. I'm going, oh. But anyway, he wasn't going to play the game. So I had to pray and seek God, and I had to put myself right. Oh. Are there things in your life that you need to let go? Seriously. I know that I need to let go of chocolate and ice creams and pies and chips. I'm glad it's just that. Years ago, it would have been a lot worse. My list would have been much longer. But where is your treasure? Is it in God or something else? This is what God is. I feel the anointing on this. God is wanting us to get so close to Him. And, you know, we can't let other people tell us how to live our life. We've got to live it the way Jesus wants us to live it. Wow. You know, I've got bossy children sometimes. Mum, do it this, do it that. You know, and you have to say, no, this is what God says. They said, oh, that's right. You and God have got a good thing going. But they need me. But don't let the enemy take your identity. You know, I had a week where I did feel sorry for myself. It wasn't Clive. It was someone else in the family. But I was feeling really sorry, and I was fearful, and things were just, the enemy was just crowding in on my identity of praise and worship. I was, all my family, most of my family, and Ange and Darren have gone overseas, and oh, the coronavirus. My granddaughter is flying out today, she's 21, and she's doing 6 months overseas on her own. I got fearful. The enemy came in like a flood. And it was like, I was so just thinking, God. And then my other grandson's off to Vietnam with the school, and I'm going, what a country to go to. You know, but the enemy came in like a flood. And I just put on Psalm 91. Prayed 91 and just think, God, you're going to protect. Peter's got a good message in this one. But he's going to protect our children. And I'm saying, God, how can I get out of what I'm feeling? How can I get out of this fear? How can I get out of this low self-worth and feeling terrible? And God says, you know what to do. So what? This is how I get back to God. Get my identity back. Where I'm praising, and I put on worship, and I get into worship, and then I'm singing, and then I'm singing in the spirit, then I'm falling over because the anointing's on me, and every bit of fear where the enemy's tried to take me out and take my identity into fear, God fills me up with faith to believe that He's on my case. Isn't that true? And it's like, in this day, we're hearing about coronavirus, and it's like, don't let fear come in. And I know God's going to, He promised me, He would look after my children. Hallelujah. As they travel. God's going to come. He's coming. And that's what I did. Don't let the enemy steal who we are. You know, I was listening to Benny Hinn, and he's really getting anointed. I know some people don't like Benny Hinn, but I was listening to him and the message just broke into my spirit. And he was talking about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, which I've just read before. And he talked about people being hooked into pornography and the enemy stealing their identity. See, once you get hooked into anything, this is what God's saying. What is there you need to get out of? You know, and it's men and women that can get hooked in pornography. But God, that's not who your identity is. Because when you get into things like that, it takes over your life. It ruins your marriage. I've known my first husband was right into porno, and I think the second one was, and it ruined, and they became perverted, and sexual sin just came rife in our family. And it was just so destructive. All because the lust of the eyes took into the eye gate. And when it goes into the eye gate, it's in your memory. And then when you see, when a man sees a woman and starts lusting after them, it's because all that's there. And when a woman lusts after a man, it's because it's gone in. You've seen it and you've heard it. And it's like God says, get out of it. Renounce it. You know, and wow. You know, it's like when you open your eye gate to things that are perverted, the enemy comes in like a flood. Whatever we read that is not of God. You know, I had a youth pastor right back in the, I'll say it, in the Brethren Church. And he taught me how to read hands. He taught me numerology. He taught me all the stuff. And then I get the books and I devour it. And I start reading people's hands. And I was so good at it. And my identity was changing, not into Christ-like. It was turning into the occult. And it wasn't until I got baptized in the Holy Spirit that I knew it was wrong. He said in Kings that all your life is, the pastor said, that on your hand is your life. That's from the pit of hell. And I remember when I had deliverance and these demons screamed off me. And it's like, I just want to stop people getting into the occult. And you know, when people get into the occult, they also get into the sexual. Sexual and the occult go together. And God is saying to shake your hands, shake your feet. Just get into the Word of God and make your identity with Him. Our identity, we are disciples. We are the child of God. We are His sons. We are the bride of Christ. But when you get into things, and it mightn't be pornography, it might be something, mightn't be a cult, but something that is getting hold of you. What do you go to when you're feeling sad? What do you go to when you're cross? What is it that you run to? See, even Facebook. I look on Facebook, but I'm not on it all the time. Are you doubting that, Clive? Thank you. It was just his face. I thought, oh my goodness. But I want to say every word to be true. But you know, even magazines, get rid of them. They're full of gossip. They're full of rubbish and full of advertising that's not of God. God is saying our identity is in Him and not in these things. I believe the world, you know, we can't, like the scripture I said here, the love of the world is just destroying and destructive. And, you know, TV, watch nothing that takes you away from the purpose of God. Watch where you go. Watch what you read. You know, you can figure things out evaluating where you spend your time and affections. What is the first thing you run to? What do you like to listen to? I still, a whole lot of Christians are into this rock music. I mean, I'm not judging here, but it's like, I mean, some of the old songs, I suppose, are good, but you know, the ones that are talking about Jesus are just so beautiful and so uplifting. Oh, my children are going to, I go to say Joel Osteen, they're going to what, Billy Joel. And I'm going, oh God, I wish they were going to Toronto. I wish they were going to Bethel. You know, how you long for your children. But they're going to him, which is, you know, I was surprised because he's old as me. And do you know, but you know, we were born for such a time as this. And I love it in Jeremiah, God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. We were sanctified before we were born. And then we get mucked up with things that happen in our lives. Holy. You know, it's so true, isn't it? How our parents can mold you, especially if they're not Christians. I've had to come out of many molds of breaking it to be like Christ. And I just thank God for people like John Wimber that came to New Zealand and brought the glory and the presence of God, where I was healed and I was delivered and I was set on fire with his presence. It changed me. It changed me. I just wanted to be in the presence of God. And John Wimber, Peter, you remember this, don't you? You used to just stand there and you go, oh, you know, and you could hardly stand under the anointing. And I'm going, he's killing me. God's killing me. I'm going, and they go, more, Lord, chewing gum. And I'm going, I can't take any more. I'm exploding. I'm dying. More, Lord. Give him more. And I'm going, can't you see me? I can't take any more. But they keep saying, more, Lord. And I remember when I was at Toronto, Roland Baker. And he, all they said, bring up the New Zealanders so we all run up the front. I wanted more. I wanted to be more like Jesus. I wanted to be more like Heidi and Roland. I want what they had. So I ran to the front. And I don't know why, but he stood on my toes. I was lying. He kind of stood on my toes. He grabbed both my hands and he just hung on. And it was like electric wire going through. I'm going, stop. And he goes, more, Lord. I said, please stop. I was screaming, absolutely screaming. And he said, give him more, Lord. And, you know, I found my identity because I had more of him. And every time I was in the glory and the presence of God, it was like those things passed away. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it? That the past can be in the past. And we're walking in. We were born for such a time as this, said the Lord. I appointed you, even in your mother's womb, my hand was upon you to anoint you to do great exploits for the kingdom of God. Wow. Who wants to do it? Good. Well, I do. I want to see more healing. Like I was up, we were shopping, Helen and I, or eating, one of the two. And she was struggling along with her feet. And I'm going, God, we've got to be healed. You know, and it's like, let that identity of healing come in you, that you have such a heart of compassion to pray for the sick. Isn't that true? I love it. Like there's two ladies at Chartwell, at the coffee club, and when they see me, they say, have you got that oil, Trish? That amazing oil. And I said, well, it's actually Jesus that's in the oil. But they want to be smothered with oil because they're feeling his presence. And yesterday, day before, this lady said, can you be my friend? And I said, I'd love to be your friend. And I was able to pray for her again. And she felt the presence of God. I so want to be your friend. And I'm going, oh God, I'm nothing, but I'll be her friend. Because she was seeing the identity of Jesus in me. She was seeing the glory of his presence. And it was like there was nothing, because I'd got over the row with Clive. That was out of the way. And I was back into my identity in Christ. I said to Clive one day, do you mind me using you? And he said, not at all. If it helps you, Trish, not at all. He made my tea last night, just a real blessing. This is his, but he put all this greenery under the good stuff. I said, what's all that greenery, Clive? It's the Italian parsley that you like, piled up. And then the potatoes over top. But anyway, I ate the greenery. I'm becoming good. Whew. It's good. It's good to have joy. I was so surprised one time. We were around the table in our family, and we had to pull out something, and you had to ask the question. What is it that you like about Clive, or what is it you like about such a person? Anyway, Andrew got mother, and I'm going, oh, I wonder what it's going to be. It might be my cooking. It might be something. And he said, I love the joy my mother carries. I love her sense of humour. I love that she enjoys life. And I'm going, wow. Isn't that wonderful? That just blessed me. And I'm going, wow, so I don't try and get grumpy around Andrew now. But, you know, also our true identity is in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I've got, beseech you therefore, brethren, have I not got it? Have you, is this New King James? What? Thank you. I was always NIV till Clive said, nah. So I thought, I'm going to obey my husband a New King James. keep the, you know, keep my identity in New King James. So let's read it together. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that powerful? That is how to walk with God. That's what our identity should be, to have the mind of Christ in everything. The mind is pure, isn't it? I had dear friends that came the other day, and I've got had a bike in my lounge, a bike, and I never used it. Exercising bike. And it sat there, it looked good. Really looked good. Everybody thought that I was doing good. And then Susie says, Trish, do you use that bike? Oh, my identity. What did I say, Susie?
No.
No. So, I've set up the bike. It's in the other room, and I did 10 minutes, and I'm going, oh, Susie. But you see, don't have secrets here. It's good. It's very good. But she came in love, and she heard it from God, that's what I'm supposed to be doing, because that's what the physio said. Get a bike and get on it, you know, and you just, it doesn't go anywhere. It just stays in one place. So now we're getting on the bike. But it's like, this is what God's saying, you know, transforming our minds into the things of the ways of God. Even obedience of getting on the bike. God said, get a bike. I got it. How long have I had it? 2 months. And it looked good. Now, it's in the other room. I'm not skiting about it. I'm doing something about it. I've changed my mind. You know, and I just thought, as I was preparing, you know, the message of the tears and the wheat. And that's in Matthew 13, but you don't have to bring it up. But the kingdom of heaven is likened unto man that sowed good seed. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tears among the wheat. And when the good seed and the tears grew, they pulled out the tear and put them in bundles and they set fire on them. And then they harvest the good seed. And that really spoke to me, you know, that I'm just saying, God, how many tears have I got amongst the good wheat? I just said, pull them out. Because the harvest is ready. And we don't want anything of the world to get into the wheat. You know, we're going to see souls saved. And if we're not walking in our true identity in Christ, what do we tell these new people? We've got to tell them that Jesus is the way, the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If I got it round the right way, I'm fine. And that's the cross of Jesus. That's the blood of Jesus. That's the power of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that is over us, protects us. But you know what? Is there any tears? Is there any attitudes? Is there jealousy? Is there pride? Is there conceit? Is there rejection? Is there unforgiveness? Is there any tear that needs to be pulled out and burnt in the fire? It spoke to me so clearly because I have to really get before God and say, God, I want a pure heart when I preach. And God said, you're a bit stubborn sometimes, Trish. And I'm going, okay. So I repent. I suffer with rejection. Clive said I put myself down all the time. But it's the way my mother never encouraged or ever built me up. So I've never been praised. And when I get an encouragement, dear old Gary, he gave me a prophetic word that just what I needed at the right time because I had had a terrible night and this prophetic word came in and it just changed me. And God's saying, what, you know, attitudes, sometimes we have it hard and if you've got someone that keeps pounding you, a family member, it's just to repent and then bless and bless and bless. But don't let them take your identity. I'm talking to Joanne with this one. Don't let people rob you of who you were. I love that scripture again in Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. We've all been sent. You know, is our identity totally in Christ? You know, I've got here, God called us to glory, to arise, shine with the glory of his presence. He's calling us right now, each one of us. And I heard this as I was writing it down. I heard names that he was calling out. But he's naming each one of you. Are you ready for the harvest? Are you ready when I call you? Will you give up things that don't matter? Will you give up things that hold you in the world? Because God said, I call you by name, but if you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, I can't call you. But if you're obedient and you repent of known sin, and I tell you what, the Holy Spirit, if you ask him, the Spirit of truth will put his finger on lots of things. You know, I complain about one family member and God said, stop it. Don't complain. Bring my glory into the situation. You know, there's a scripture about refining fire. And if you really want to be brave, you ask God to put you in that refining fire. Otherwise, repent now. So if you really want to just let things go, it might be a tiny thing, just come forward before the cross and just say, I don't want that anymore.